Well, I just feel like before I turn it over to Carmen, she's going to minister on healing tonight. And if you didn't know that, well, man, you are in the right place. But I just want to kind of, well, share a couple of things with you. I just really felt like the Lord was putting some things on my heart just to kind of warm you up a little bit. We don't need this watered-down gospel that's being preached in our world today. And I want you to understand exactly what I'm talking about. Now, there's a lot of ways that it gets watered down. You know, no commitment and all that kind of stuff. But I want to just touch on something specifically. It's a gospel that has no power. It's a gospel that, well, it can get you to heaven, but that's it. And they've taken out so much of the good news that Jesus brought. John the Baptist said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, because Jesus was on the scene. And the Bible says that Jesus came preaching the kingdom, and he said, repent and believe. And everywhere he went, he healed people. The deaf heard, the blind saw. Miracles were happening because the kingdom came. We're supposed to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to ask you, when the man said, Lord, if you can, what was Jesus' response? He said, if you can believe. And I tell you right now that preachers get in trouble for saying that today. Jesus is the one who said, if you can believe. Another man said, Lord, if you will. And he said, I will. Amen. And I'm telling you, church, the real issue here is that we got to believe God. We need to take him at his word and believe what he says. And I'm telling you, so many people in religious America have been conditioned over and over and over not to believe. And that's why sometimes in the mission field, people are being healed, jumping up out of wheelchairs, crazy, miraculous things are happening because they haven't been taught not to believe. That's why we need this. We need it over and over and over. And I'm telling you that if somebody, listen, oh, well, you know, I went to one of those healing services and I didn't get healed. I'm telling you, you need to get so saturated with the Word of God that you come to the place, not where you wish, not where you hope, but where you believe. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Bible says that when Jesus preached in Nazareth, that he could do no mighty work there. Who was this Jesus? God in the flesh, the Word made flesh who dwelt among us. Now he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. Listen, in his hometown, because of the unbelief, the Bible says he could do no mighty work there. It doesn't say that he refused to. It says he could not do any mighty work there. Except he healed a few people. And so even if you're in the midst of a bunch of people that don't believe, you can still be one of those ones that gets healed. But I want you to see, unbelief limits what God will do in our life. Well, I'm done preaching. Now, I just have one more thing to say, and she's going to have 30, 35 minutes, and that's good. She's going to make it because she's better at that than me. But I just want to tell you that in 2009, when my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer, and by the way, If you're a skeptic and you're like Thomas, you got to see, we can show you the lab reports and the doctor reports and letters that were given to us or sent to us. But I'm just telling you, when she had invasive cancer and the doctors say, you got to do this, this, and this, and, you know, and you might make it. And I'm just telling you that it didn't happen because Carmen was lucky. If she was lucky, it never would have had that. If you want to go by luck. And I'm not saying, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying tonight. It's not because she's better than everybody else. No. It is as simple as this. See, you don't get healed because you're good. See, I don't understand everything. I don't have all the answers. I want you to understand that. But yes, bad things happen to good people, and good people get sick, and good people die. You don't get healed because you're good. Jesus said over and over, because of your faith, according to your faith, be it unto you, according to your faith. You see, it's because she believed and God healed her. And even in the face of bad reports again and again, she still believed. And I'm just telling you that God can do the same thing in your life. You got to believe. I'm sorry, Carmen. You come on.
That's good.
Go get them.
Well, I just want to say, don't believe the lie. I already know what the devil's told most of you in here. I know. You can't believe. You can't believe like that. That's just too hard. That's what he's told many of you, that you can't do it. But I'm here to tell you that you can. You can. You can believe. You can believe for healing in your body. Amen. Well, tonight, I'm going to talk to you about how you can be strong and ready to stand against any sickness, against any disease or injury or pain that come against you or against someone that you love. How you can be strong and how you can stand against that. I'm telling you, God wants you well, and he wants you well all the time. Isn't that good? He wants you well all the time. So how do I know that? How can you walk in divine health and healing and wholeness all the time? How do you know that? How do I know that? The Bible tells me. It's right in here. It tells me that God wants me well all the time. And then when sickness, disease, pain, or injury of any kind comes against me, right here is your answer. It's in here. It tells you how you can believe. It promises healing and health and wholeness in our bodies. Now, I'm going to begin with just a review of a few scriptures that I have shared before. But I know that just because you've heard this before doesn't mean you remember it. And it doesn't mean that it's alive in your heart and that it can produce fruit right now. So I'm going to do a little bit of a review, and you just determine in your heart, I'm going to get this deeper down, this truth deeper down in my heart, okay? Well, I like to begin with John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. You know, that verse is just one of the best verses in the Bible because it shows us how much that our Heavenly Father loves us. He loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. What else could he do? He did everything he could. He sent his son to die so he could bear the penalty of sin so that you could be saved. He showed us how much he loves us. And I'm telling you, he loves you so much. And a loving Heavenly Father does not want his children to be sick or to live in pain any more than an earthly father would want their children to be sick and live in pain. I tell you, when my kids are sick, I will do anything to take that pain away. Anything. There's no price too big. If they're hurting and I can do something about it, I will do it. And that's what your Heavenly Father did. He did what he could do. He sent his son to die on that cross, bear the penalty of sin, and Amen. Take the stripes on his back so that you could be well. Amen. See, the salvation that Jesus provided included the healing of your body. How do I know that? Well, Isaiah 53:5 says, he was wounded, speaking of Jesus, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Not maybe we'll be healed. Some few people will be healed. No, we all are healed. It also says in 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. There's that part about we so understand that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. to cleanse us and make us. We understand that. But here's the part that people have trouble with. By whose stripes you were healed. It's part of your salvation. Healing belongs to the child of God. And a strong, healthy body is for all Christians. But sometimes you have to fight for what belongs to you. Psalms 103, verse 2 and 3 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." There it is again, side by side, forgiveness of sins and healing of your body. It's all one big package altogether, not separated out for a few get to have this lucky part of healing. It's for all. See, we live in a sinful world, and the devil is out to steal, kill, and destroy your life. He does everything he can to get you to sin. He does everything he can to take your peace from you. And he does everything he can to make you sick. That's what he does. That's his job here. But I tell you, when the devil brings a temptation for you to sin, and you sin, God has provided in his word in 1 John 1, 8 and 9. He said, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." See, God knew that we would not be able to live a sinless life. He knew we would blow it. We as his children who love him and we in our prayers we say, "Oh, Lord, I'll never sin. I'm going to follow." How many times have I said, "Lord, I'm going to follow your word. I'm just not going to sin. I'm just determined." But then you fall and you sin. So what do? Jesus provided. Verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So what do? Here we are, God's children. He's forgiven us of our sins. We've repented and he's forgiven us. But then we mess up. And so we repent. And what does he do? He forgives us. And we have to receive that by faith. We believe that if we go to God truly with a repentant heart and we confess our sins, we believe that he does forgive us. And he cleanses us and makes us whole. It says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." See, we're saved by grace. For it's by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not your works. God is gracious and he's kind. And he will forgive and cleanse you of your sins. And it's the same way when sickness comes against your body and injury. God provided his word. By faith you believe that you receive healing in your body. Just by faith you believe you receive the forgiveness of your sins. It's the same thing. Matthew 11, 23 says, Jesus said, "For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain," and the mountain we're talking about tonight is sickness. And I'm going to be coming back and back again to sickness. But you know, if you really have another issue in your life, whether it's financial, relationship, whatever it is, these same principles of faith can apply to that as well. But "For surely whoever says to this mountain, or to whatever sickness you're facing, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but that believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." There's that thing, believe that you receive. We go to the Father, we pray, and we believe that we receive healing for our body. We speak to that sickness and say, "Sickness, you cannot stay in my body. You do not belong in the child of God. Healing belongs to me and it's mine." And healing, that sickness, it cannot stay. Like I've said so many times, cancer, you cannot stay in my body. You have to die. You have to leave. You have to dry up from the roots. You will not stay in my body. I'm a child of God and healing belongs to me. Thank you, Father, for healing my body. That's speaking to the mountain. Because it says in Revelation 12, 11, I love this. "They overcame him," how? "By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." You see, the blood of Jesus is strong enough to cleanse any sin. You cannot do anything bad enough that if you come to God with a repentant heart, he can't clean you up. Don't discount the blood of Jesus. It's strong enough. It can make you clean. But that same blood is strong enough to heal your body. Whatever is wrong with it, whatever is missing or malfunctions, God can fix it with that blood. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. I'm so thankful God wants us well, aren't you?
Yes.
That is great. He doesn't want you sick. You need to know that. He does not. He does not want you sick. He wants you well. Yeah, I'm so glad. But you know, in this world, stuff comes against you. And you need to have a strong spirit to be able to stand against the attacks that will come against your physical body and that will come against those you care about. It says in Proverbs 18, verse 14, the spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? I tell you, if you're going to have power, the power that you need to be able to fight the good fight of faith when sickness comes or when trouble comes, you have to be spiritually strong. You need to have these truths I've been talking about down deep and settled within you, in your heart. It has to be alive inside your heart, in your inner man. I recently read a story about a minister. And this was a preacher who traveled across the country preaching the word of God. And at one point when he was out ministering, he received a letter from his wife. And in this letter, it told him that their daughter had a growth that had grown on her eyelid, and something had gotten very large, and something was going to have to be done about it. So this minister, he knew the word of God, and he knew what it had to say about healing. So he determined with his heart that later, when he had time, he was going to properly prepare himself to pray by spending extra time meditating on the healing scriptures. So he put that letter in his pocket and waited until later that night after he preached in the service. So after he ministered, he went back to his hotel room and he spent some extra time just fellowshipping with the Lord and going over those healing scriptures that he already knew. But he took time to go over them again and go over them. And this is what he did all night long. He would go over the scriptures and meditate on them, and then he'd sleep for a while. And then he'd get up and meditate on them again, and he'd sleep for a while. He'd get up and meditate, did this all night long. And then the next morning, when he finally got up, he got that letter out. He rebuked that growth on his daughter's eyelid, and she was healed. Now, the key was that the scripture at that point, see, it was not just words that he remembered in his brain, but these were words that now were abiding in his heart. See, when he prayed, then he was able to pray in faith. And I think that happens to a lot of us. We've heard these healing scriptures, and we go to about our day and about doing things, and maybe sickness comes on us and we just want to be able to just say a real quick prayer and then just move on about our day. But sometimes we have to spend some time and allow that word to become alive in our hearts again so that we come to a place of faith that so when we pray, the healing comes. See, this is what that man did. It says in Proverbs 4, verse 20, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. See, this is what he did. He got the word before his eyes, and he put it in his ears, and he thought about it, and he got it alive. See, he found that word and got it alive within his heart. It became health and healing to his daughter's flesh. And you can do that too, putting the word before your eyes and putting it in your ears and putting it down in your heart so that when you speak it, when you pray, it comes out in faith. It says in verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. I like the NIV, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. It is so important that we guard, that we keep and protect our hearts, because what is in your heart will affect your spirit. I tell you, you can get so much of the Word of God alive on the inside of you, in your spirit, that it just flows out into your body and heals whatever's wrong with it. But I think the problem is we don't want to take the time to get it all in there, to get full enough, so then when it comes out, it heals your body. There is great power in the Word of God. So above all else, guard your heart. Get it down in there. Because Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We believe with our heart, not with head knowledge. It's not just a head knowledge. It's a heart knowledge. It's a heart. It's something that's in your heart. You believe with your heart. Just like that minister did for his daughter. He got to the place he could believe with his heart. It says in 1 Timothy 4, verse 7, it says, reject profane and old wives' tales. I look at that as junk. You need to reject junk coming into your eyes and your ears. Reject negative reports. Anything that comes into you, comes against you, that is contrary to the Word of God, that doesn't line up with how you're supposed to live, with line up with what the Word of God had. When people say, we know everybody just gets sick. Well, no, they don't. No, they don't. That doesn't line up with the Word of God. Healing is for us. Let's go on. And exercise yourself toward godliness. Toward godliness. In other words, living God's way. You want to live God's way, the way that God has provided for us in His Word. For it says, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. See, when we live God's way, we have a great life right now. And what is God's way? That by His stripes I am healed. God's way is that His people live with health and wholeness. So when that sickness comes against us, we're able to stand against it because we're living God's way. So let me ask you, are you nourished in faith or are you nourished in junk? I tell you, the more serious your problem is, the more selective you're going to have to be in what you allow yourself to see and to hear. Because it says in Proverbs 4, verse 20, we're supposed to attend to the Word of God. We attend to it. Not the negative words that doctors may say about your condition or things that make your spirit weak. I tell you, I am thankful for doctors, for nurses, and for medicine. God uses them to help our bodies to get well. But you can't let that be your final word. When He says there's no hope, well, that's not the final word. The Word says we'll live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. That is not your final word. See, if you go to the doctor and you feel like God gives you a peace about going to this doctor and He directs you to take some kind of medicine, you have a peace in your heart, well, you do that. You do it in faith. But sometimes they may say, well, there's nothing that can be done. That's when you go to the Word of God. And you say, no, there's plenty that can be done. Amen. So don't let any man's word be your last word. Follow the direction of God's word. It will strengthen and nourish you. You know, for your physical body to be strong, you have to eat the right stuff and you have to exercise. But it's the same with your spirit. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. See, there's more to you than just this physical body that you can see. There's a spirit on the inside of you that needs to be nourished and fed. You know, reading the word and coming to church, that feeds your spirit. And when your spirit is fed, it affects how you feel in your body. Preaching that's full of faith, it feeds you. Like when you go to special meetings, I love it when I go to special meetings with Terry Foy. When I leave those meetings, I'm ready to pursue my dreams. I can do it. You can do it. When I've been listening to Keith Moore preach on healing, I tell you, watch out, devil. You can't put anything on me. You know, some people, when they speak, there is an anointing about it, and there's just something about it. I think this one time, I guess one of the most outstanding times in my life when I heard somebody ministering the word, and it was at a youth camp. I was a counselor and went into just a leaders meeting, and the preacher was Tommy Burchfield, and he was preaching to us leaders, and I tell you, I was just like, wow. Because I wasn't seeing him. It's like I was seeing Jesus speaking. Because there was such power and anointing when he was speaking. I was just overwhelmed. And I thought, wow. And we got out. I thought, I bet we were in there an hour. And I looked, we were in there 4 hours. No idea, because the presence, but there was an anointing. I have never been the same. There was quite an anointing there. And there's a few times in your life you come against something like that. And I'll never forget it. But see, the difference, it changed me inside. It built me up in my spirit. That's why it's so important. You come to church every chance you get, because y'all are the cream of the crop. You're here at Wednesday night. Good. Hey. You're going for it with God. But you know, you just need those services. You need it because you can be built up in your spirit. Oh, your spirit's so important. You got to take care of it. Well, there's three main ways I want to talk about tonight to get your spirit built up and strong. So I'm talking about tonight, if you wanted a title, I'm sorry, the strong spirit. How can you get your spirit strong? I've talked about some of them. I'm going to review a little bit. The first thing you do is you have to eat the right things. And you eat the way you eat the right thing for your spirit is what you allow yourself to see and what you allow yourself to hear. I heard someone say that the ear tastes words like the mouth tastes food. Because see, what you eat with your mouth and you taste and put in your body, if you eat the right kind of stuff, it strengthens you. You eat the wrong thing, it makes you weak. You eat something really wrong, it'll make you throw up. You know, it's really important what you eat for your physical body. But it's really important for your spirit, what you hear, what you see. The words you hear are putting the right thing in you, or they're putting the wrong thing in you. They can put in fear, words can put in doubt, or words can put in faith and life, or they could put in death and depression. Words can put in worry. You got to watch what you see. What? Be careful what you watch on that TV set. Be careful what you read and do on the internet. It can hurt you. It can also help you watch the right thing. There are a lot of good mess. I found a great website just full of healing messages. Now that can build you up. Sometimes you're in a battle and you need to get really serious and forget about a lot of other things till you get your spirit built up. I read a story, or heard a story, about a man. I'll tell you who he is at the end. But when he was born prematurely, and he had a lot of issues and things wrong with him when he was born. His parents told him the things that were wrong with this young boy, no one had ever lived past the age 16. Well, and everything was going along, and when he turned 16, about 16, he became bedfast. And they told him, you're going to die. There's nothing we can do. You need to be ready. There's nothing else that can be done. You will die. There's nothing left that can be done. Well, this young man, just something told him, of course, we know it was the Holy Spirit, that the answer, that he could live, that the answer was in the Bible and a New Testament. And he thought, well, the Old Testament's pretty long, and I don't know if I'll live that long, so I'll start with the New Testament because it was smaller. So we started in Matthew. Now, this young man was very sick because he would spend hours just asleep. And then when he would wake up, though, he would open up his Bible and we started in Matthew chapter 1. And it's been said that it was, sometimes it would take him minutes just to have enough strength to turn a page, just to turn it to get to the next one. But he just, every waking moment, every chance he had, he would be reading his Bible. Well, his parents became concerned that that was all he did. So they had someone come and talk to him. And this minister was speaking to him. He says, you mean you don't ever read any other kind of books, or you don't read any of the comics? He says, no, don't have time. Nope. He would answer him every time. Nope, don't have time. Because you see, he could die any day. That's what they were telling him. He didn't have time to do other stuff. He had to get into the Word of God. And he got all the way to Matthew chapter 11, verse 22. 23 and 24. And he discovered that if he could just believe that he received, then he could have it. That man was Kenneth Hagin. He was healed completely, and he preached the gospel for years. And that was his theme scripture. He always preached so many sermons on Matthew 11, 22, 23, 24. Because see, there he found the word. See, I'm done for you. Believe and receive. There's nothing wrong with entertainment and doing other things. But if you're in a battle, sometimes you don't have time for that. You got to get in here. You got to get in the Word. Amen. You stay with the Word long enough, and the Lord's going to help you, and you will change. Because there's life and there's medicine for your flesh in this Word of God. So how do you build up your spirit? You got to eat the right things. Put the right thing in your eyes and the right things in your ears. How do you get strong? Number two, you exercise. This exercising for your spirit is what you do with what you get in your eyes and in your ears. What do you do with it? You watch what you say. You speak positive confessions over your life. You can, if you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can speak in tongues. The Bible says when you speak in tongues, you're building up your most holy faith. So if you speak in tongues, I want to encourage you, do it more. Speak in tongues off and on all day long. When you're in the shower, for me, when I'm mowing or when I'm vacuuming the floor or doing the dishes or walking around the house, speak in tongues. It builds you up. I don't know how it works, but I'm telling you, it just does. It does. Exercise by praise and worship. I tell you, I got so enthused. Thank you. I got so enthused tonight with that worship. Oh, thank you, worship team. I just love it when I can just sit out and worship. It was so good. It just so builds you up. It so builds you up. I tell you, sometimes you can come in this place and your mind is all on anything but the Lord. You just came because that's what you do. But, you know, you can come in here and it doesn't matter, you know, what's going on or whatever. If you'll just pull yourself together and say, I'm going to worship God. And you look up there at those words and you sing them in faith. And you look at what that means and you sing that in faith. And I'm telling you, if you just stick with it and you just decide, I'm not going to think that, so this is God's time, I tell you, you're going to come out, woo, feeling good. Feeling good. Yes, you will. Praise and worship, that exercises your spirit and makes you strong. Did you know that obeying the commands of Scripture, like walking in love, will make you strong? It'll do that. You know, whenever you exercise with your physical body, you know, sometimes it can be painful and difficult. Let's say you decide you're going to run 3 miles, and you've only ever run 2. When you start getting to that 3rd mile, oh my gosh, it's hard. Or if you're lifting weights and you're going to do this, you up your weights and you're going to do so many reps, that last one is like, oh gosh, you just go, and it hurts, you know. Sometimes it hurts, but you know you're glad you do it because you get good results from that, don't you? Sometimes it's hard to exercise your spirit. It's hard to walk in love when someone's mean, when they're being ugly, and you turn around and bless them. It's hard, but you get good results, and that exercises your spirit, and it builds you up. So how do we build up our spirit? Eat the right thing, and you exercise. And this is, honestly, I've said all of this to get to right here. This is what I truly believe God wants to speak to everyone tonight, because this is where I think we miss it. Because you can do all these things, all those things I was talking about, and still be weak. How? How can you be weak? Number three, stop the drains. Stop the drains. There are things that will just drain your spirit. You can be so full tonight. Oh, I mean, you're ready. I'm ready. You go out to that car and you're driving home and you and your spouse or you and your kids get in this argument and you're yelling and fighting at one another, and by the time you get home, it's all gone. There's no faith. It's gone. Stop the drains. Stop the drains. I've been so understanding that how this has happened to me at times. No, we don't argue and fight like that. I didn't mean that. We don't argue and fight. But, you know, there's stuff that happens. Worry. Worry will drain you. You know, you can just be sitting in the chair and everything's fine and then start thinking about something. And then start worrying about it. All the what ifs. And oh my, what if this? And blah, blah, blah. And before long, man, your spirit is drained and you're weak on the inside. 1 Peter 5:7 says you're supposed to cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You're supposed to cast your cares on the Lord. Unforgiveness will drain you. Too many involvements because you're just too busy for the Lord. That'll drain you. Too many involvements. Doing things that God doesn't really want you to be doing because he has other things for you to do. That'll drain you. Being on the phone all day about nothing. That'll drain you. Sometimes I just want to throw my phone away to stop ringing. Dwelling on the past will drain you. Anger will drain you. Anger. You know, I've realized that the anger has been trying to creep in on me. I noticed this about a week ago, that I found myself just getting mad real easy. And I don't like that. Normally it's not me. And I had to remind myself who I was. See, back in the summer of 2011, my wonderful husband here, he felt like God gave him a word for me, and he wrote it down on this piece of paper, and I've kept it in my Bible ever since. So I had to remind myself who I am. So here, when I have a tendency to be angry, I read this to myself. You are gracious and kind. You are tenderhearted and forgiving. You forbear and are long-suffering. You restore and heal because he is in you. That's who I am. I'm not going to be an angry person. I'm going to be gracious and kind. I'm going to be tenderhearted and forgiving. I'm going to forbear and long-suffer. I'm going to restore and heal because the Holy Spirit is in me. It's not my power. It's his. Holy Spirit is in me. I'm going to be gracious and kind. I will not be mad. I'm not going to be angry. And you talk to yourself and you build yourself up with the Word of God. And that's stopping the drain. Stop that spirit from being drained. All that strength from being drained from inside of you. We need to be alert to the things that drain our spirit. Because it may start out with a little trickle, but it'll be a flood before you know it. And just on a side note, don't be a drain to other people. Don't be the drain.
Amen.
Speaking doubt and unbelief, you're draining their spirit. Being critical and cranky and judgmental and angry and mad all the time, that's draining people. You'll drain you. You want to be a drain? We need to keep our spirits strong. So what do you do when you feel weak? I'm going to go through this really quickly. What do you do? Because we all feel times of weak. Well, Joel 3:10, let the weak say, I am strong. When you feel weak, oh, I'm so weak. What do you do? I'm so weak. No. What do? You say, I am strong. Say it with me. I am strong. What do the weak say? I am strong. That's what you're supposed to say. You don't think it. You say it. You have to say it out of your mouth. It says in Psalm 18:32, it is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes me strong. He fills me with strength. Say that with me. He fills me with strength. Amen. It also says in Proverbs 29:11, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with strength, with peace. He will give you strength. He gives you strength. Thank you, Lord. He gives me strength. Psalm 71:16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. There are times when you think, I just can't do it today. I just can't stand this job today. I can't stand my spouse today. I can't stand my kids today. I can't stand to do this anymore. That's not what you're supposed to say. You say, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. Say that with me. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. There's lots of times that's applicable in your life when you just feel like, I can't. No, yes, you can. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will go in the strength. It says in Philippians 4:13, that popular verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It says in Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You see, if you'll spend about 30 minutes saying, I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He fills me with strength. Let the weak say, I am strong. I am strong in my spirit. By his stripes I am healed. I will walk in love. I am gracious and kind, tenderhearted and forgiving. See, if you'll spend some time doing that, build up your spirit and you're a new person. We want to microwave it. You cannot microwave it. You spend some time with the Lord, speaking out these words, strength, you will have a strong spirit.